B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Those two are bitches.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Game four is underway. Pacers win the tap. Big day for the Celtics and later the Bruins.
Bergeron into the faceoff left circle. They tie up. Marchand shoots. He scores!
Here we're down the right side. Return to Al Horford. Finds the open man. Left side. Morris. Three. Got it.
Right circle. Net. Riley shoots. Press. Took it away. Reached up with the left hand. Get that out of here.
Gordon Hayward switches to the right hand. Driving strong. Draws some contact. Runner is good. Scored in the foul for Gordon Hayward.
Hoshnut headed on his back end. Shoots. Krug shoots. He scores! The Bruins and LaVork the puck around, fire one. Crew gets the rebound in the near circle and he rips it inside the near post. Oh, power play goal. 2-1 Bruins. Got it. He scores!
Gordon Hayward pull up three.
Got it!
Gordon Hayward back in the building where he won a state championship has just given the Celtics an 8-point fourth quarter lead.
2-on-2, Krejci right circle. Centers deflected, they score! Jake DeBrus able to win his battle, charged into the front of the net, got the stick down and deflects it home.
Thought we were attacking the net better, just more overall of our identity.
It's exciting to know that when the pressure is high, you have guys that can respond to that.
Today was more of the way we wanted. We wanted to be aggressive.
Bounce pass, knocked away by Kyrie. He saves it from going out of bounds. Morris lead for Horford. Hand to Jason Tatum. Two-hand slam, and the Celtics are running away and hiding here in game four. Straight away. Now angles to the right side of the floor against Evan. Seven on the shot clock. Kick to the open man. Jason Tatum. Four on the shot clock. Tatum finds Hayward. The hot hand for three. Good night.
And the horn is going to sound. Can you smell it? It's a game seven. And for the third time since 2013, these two teams are going to play a game seven.
Black hits triple zeros. And the Celtics are the first team to advance to round two. They hang on and they sweep the Pacers.
Just go out there and just be great.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. And it was a perfect day for Boston sports. And it allowed you to break away a little bit earlier for Easter. Brunch was over, and then you had responsibilities.
Correct.
So, the Celtics complete the inevitable sweep. Of Indiana, and then you have the Bruins actually showing life and forechecking in a game and taking care of business in Toronto.
And then you had dragons in the evening for Mr. John Wallach.
Correct. Oh, that's right. I forgot all about Game of Thrones. Was there anything exciting?
I've been waiting for the big battle between everyone and the Army of the Dead, and now there's no way around it. The Army of the Dead is within about 1,000 yards of where everyone is, and that was the last scene of this episode last night. So finally, this Sunday, we'll get the battle we've all been waiting for.
I saw this yesterday tweeted out after the episode was done. They said that episode 3 of Game of Thrones, which is the one that's this Sunday, the Battle of Winterfell, will feature the longest battle sequence in film or TV history. The episode boasts the most characters since the pilot, and the director says that it's longer than the Lord of the Rings Helm's Deep Siege.
Wow. We'll see. We'll see about that.
Woo!
Which was
came in at stopwatch out now.
37 minutes and 22 seconds. Exactly.
Yep.
So, yeah. So get ready.
This is it.
I didn't see last night's episode, but I heard it was just the last final, like, goodbye to most of the characters before they all get stabbed.
That's about the last 25 minutes of the episode of people just sitting around because they know the army's coming. They have the people come in and say the army's going to be here before the sun comes up. So everyone sits around in the castle and talks and for about 25 minutes.
And more incest and incest everywhere.
I don't think we didn't get that. There was one gratuitous sex scene, but it wasn't incest.
But it wasn't an incest scene. No, it was not.
How odd, how novel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but yesterday, and then you had Game of Thrones. I forgot. So that's a long day of television.
All right, so I have to ask you, when did they start doing the draft in other cities, the NFL draft?
I think 3 years
was
ago.
Yeah, two, three years
It was like
ago.
Chicago and
Philadelphia. Was first, I thought, okay. Right? Oh, no, Chicago was first, then Philadelphia. So Dallas had it last year? Is that right? I think Dallas had Jerry World, I think they had it.
All I know is that I was in Nashville this weekend, and first of all, I was outside the Predators game, and they just shut down the city when the Predators play. I mean, they don't have a basketball franchise, no baseball, so, I mean, the Predators are massive. And there's bands playing everywhere, and it was kind of funny after all the hubbaloo, just all the Predators fans walking out with their heads down like, well, that sucked. But what they're doing right now for the draft, because that's this weekend, this coming weekend in Nashville, is gratuitous. Like, I'm watching it, I'm going, when did the NFL draft become this big travel destination that the world wants to go to? I mean, there is a stage that is the size of like a Coachella stage at the end of Broadway. Like, if you, the way Nashville is set up is there's one big main road where all like the restaurants and honky tonks are, and at the end of it is a river, and over the other side of the river is where the football stadium is where the Titans play. Blocking that river, you can't even see it from Broadway now, is this gargantuan, massive stage that they've got set up. They've also already shut off Broadway. Because at the top part by the Bridgestone Arena where the Predators are, they're building a second giant stage in order for to be where, you know, wherever those guys are, like the analysts sitting up on stage. It used to be Boomer and all those guys and Gruden, not anymore.
It's Wingo, I think.
Yeah, Wingo, I guess, is going to be doing it. So there's a stage there, but am I mistaken that the actual draft itself, somebody told me it was happening in the Titan Stadium.
That's what they did in Dallas. They had it at AT&T Stadium. You remember in Philadelphia, they built an entire stage at the top of the Rocky Steps in that big plaza there. They completely covered it. I mean, they go big here. I don't know where it was in Chicago.
The Marriott Marquis. That's where I miss it.
Yeah.
The Marriott Marquis.
Times Square, man. That's where it was.
Marriott Marquis.
Yeah,
and it was
I remember.
Just,
Dirty
was,
Jets fans.
And it was just Dirty Jets fans.
I used to go. I went to the draft a couple of years.
It would just be Jets fans with mustaches shaking their heads.
But, like, who is traveling and making a weekend out of going to the draft?
I have no idea. The draft used to be my favorite day, the sports day of the year, but I wouldn't have gone, but it was Saturday afternoon, started at noon.
It was great.
It was the perfect thing to gamble on. And
just
then
sit there. Oh,
my fantastic. Last party I had was when I lived in Brighton. And that was like the last draft that was on a noon at a Saturday. And I had like 50 people at my place because it was the greatest. You would put in, there's 50 people. So 25 people would put in a buck. And then as soon as you were the person who got a pick right that no one else got, you got the money.
It is getting the Super Bowl treatment there. In the airport, you know, like whenever we would go to the Super Bowl, you go to the airport and there's all these different signs that the city has put up like, hey, welcome NFL fan. That's all over the airport. And it's like, NFL fans, Enterprise Rent-A-Car this way. And I'm like, who really cares? I mean, are they really going to fill that stadium with people who are going to the NFL draft?
I don't know how many people. They closed off part of AT&T Stadium in Dallas for the draft. The stages were just facing the wrong way. But if you're holding an NFL draft in a stadium, what is the Cowboys stadium seat? 80?
Well, Cowboys is ridiculous.
I mean, they sat a significant portion of that stadium for the draft.
That's amazing to me. I guess nothing really is amazing anymore because 30,000 people went to that let's say goodbye to the Patriots thing at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
And just to walk him go on stage and see Zolak drop a microphone. I mean, they didn't even play.
No.
And 30,000 people showed up. But I mean, even if you're like the world's biggest Arizona Cardinals fan, like, are you going to fly across country to see them pick Kyler Murray or whoever it is?
Well, the point is that what advantage is there to being at the draft live?
You're right, exactly. I mean, watch it on now. It's great to watch on TV.
Yes.
It's amazing theater. But, I mean, you don't even get that when you're there.
No,
you don't get to see the guys sitting by themselves.
You don't get
sweating.
The insider, let's go to Schefter because
no.
There's been a trade and this is what they're thinking.
You don't get that.
You don't get the pleasure of knowing that they already know what the pick is and pretending that they don't.
Right.
And then
right.
Going like, well, I think they're... You know who I like here? I like blah, blah, blah. But I think they're leaning this way, and you already know that they know the pick.
It's the ultimate televised event. It's made for TV. We talk about how there's some sporting events that are like that. But, I mean, honestly, the draft is way better on television. And I just don't see – but, man, that city has gone all in. And if they're doing it in that stadium, I mean, what kind of enjoyment are you getting sitting in the 300 section – watching one
person. What kind of enjoyment are you getting if you're in the front row?
I mean, you're right. No matter where you're sitting, why is that better than watching it at home?
Because you get to be so close to Goodell.
Right, you can cheer him on.
Yeah,
woo,
just
like in draft day.
Yeah, and then the guys that come in the second round and the assistant, whatever he is, the assistant commissioner, you get to cheer him on.
And then afterwards, you can go to Kid Rock's Rock and Roll Honky Tonk down the street.
Does he have a rock and roll honky tonk?
Every wannabe country artist has their own bar now. Like Jason Aldean's rooftop douchebag. And then there's like Florida Georgia Line unearned dog tag when you walk in.
Oh,
I mean, it's
Lord.
Just, it's the, I mean, that there's parts of Nashville that just are starting to gross me out. Who's the guy who's on, who's on American Idol now? Or no, The Voice. He's got like a big place called like Blake Shelton's Big Dogs Dog Don't Hunt Cafe.
And there's turning into like a corny. So there's parts of it.
There's parts of it that have gotten very, very corny. But I mean, still, it's still a great drinking town and a fun place to go. But I mean, it's now it's just it just exudes douchebaggery, and it's the ultimate like wedding or like bachelor party. But I actually ran into a bunch of our listeners going down there. It's a fun town to go and drink. It's a great town, but there's a section of it now that's just like, hey there, we're the rock and roll country bar. We like rock and country. What up, Kid Rock? We got rapping cowboys.
Yeah, that's the new thing. All right, Rich, what do we have coming on?
Oh, let's just talk about pure Boston domination yesterday.
All right, we'll be right back.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
The Bruins earned themselves at least one more visit to Causeway.
High slot, Marchand, far circle, Pastrnak had it on his backhand. Shoots, Krug shoots, he scores! The Bruins able to work the puck around, fire one. Krug gets the rebound in the near circle, and he rips it inside the near post. Ah, power play goal!
By the way, that was
a
fantastic goal. I mean, he picked that top right corner. Ooh,
yeah, the Krug one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very, very nice goal.
Well, after a no-show on Friday, the Bruins totally redeemed themselves yesterday afternoon and play their best postseason hockey yet in their 4-2 win over the Maple Leafs. It was a game that, for the first time in the series, the Bruins actually looked like the faster team. There was aggressive play by the D, power play was effective, and this guy was on fire.
Bergeron into the faceoff left circle. They tie up. Marchand shoots, he scores! Had a trickle off his left leg, and it just scooted over the line. A power play goal. Bruins won. Maple Leafs won.
That was another great one, too, right off the faceoff. Just, I mean, he scored. You're like, whoa, you scored? Damn, that was quick. Well, Merritt Marchand, he buried two, and usually as Marchand plays, the Bruins do as well. They not only scored two power play goals, but they were 3-for-3 on the penalty kill, and it was nice to finally see this guy get going.
Krejci to DeBrusque over the line right side. It's 2-on-2. Krejci right circle. Centers deflected, they score! Jake DeBrusque able to win his battle, charges to the front of the net, got the stick down and deflects it home. Bruins 3, Leafs 1.
Well, Jake DeBrusque, who's been in the back of a milk carton since game 2, got back in the stat sheet courtesy of an excellent back and forth between he and David Krejci. How was he on Friday on the show?
He's good.
Good?
He's fine.
Is his phone better?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, I think the whole notion of that bump is.
Well, I mean, once again, I'm not giving it any credit. I mean,
no, but it's been. It did not work.
In the postseason, it has not been. He's
Friday,
requested both times.
Work, but Sunday, it did.
That's right. Taking no credit for that.
Very poorly on Friday.
Well, I mean, everyone did. That was a slog of a game.
But, yesterday was exactly how they were supposed to play. Yesterday was the game we were all waiting for, and you look at it and say, how come they couldn't play like this at home? Yeah. I mean, that's how you're supposed to play at home during the playoffs. They were dominant for long periods of time yesterday.
They were dominant for long periods of time. They forechecked. They were aggressive in their own zone. They were very physical. You should have been doing this.
And that was without Backes, too. Talk about the physicality.
They're not going to play him again. But they, that's what they should do every game. That's what they should do. They should muscle him around a little bit. Because, oh, Lord, no. In the first part of the first period, I just said, oh, well, this is over. I mean, Toronto's going to just blow him away. And then something happened after Toronto scored that goal. And they got going.
They didn't. After Toronto scored that first goal, they kept saying on the show they'd been outshot 17-4.
It was 19-6 at one point.
Okay.
And Toronto went without a shot for 9 minutes.
Yeah,
from the end of the first period into the second period, 9 straight minutes without a shot.
Yeah, the beginning of the second period, the Bruins absolutely dominated, and you thought, all right, you've been dominating. This is great. You got to get something for this, and. Sure enough, they did.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it was great to watch. I mean, you keep going back to how come they can't do this normally?
It's not like anyone had.
So frustrating to watch.
You know, it's not like anyone had an exceptional game. It's just as a team, I mean, you should be able to do that.
Against that team, absolutely.
Yeah, you should be able to do that. That's exactly the recipe to win. And two of the three games that they've won, that's the way they played.
Well, Tuukka Rask stopped 22 of 24 in a solid game yesterday, but perhaps the game's worst villain was the dude with the giant head that was blocking the camera's view for the last 5 minutes of the game. I just kept thinking of So I Married an Axe Murderer. Remember, head, pants, no! Just blocking the TV. I mean, at one point, don't you get one of the NBC Sports key grips to go down and just dude, move out of the way.
Yeah, but you can't tell me what to do. And then the next thing you know, you got your head in the camera.
It was almost like the Wallach head was sitting there.
Yep.
It was so big.
Right.
It's still better than the humongous Ness and Scroll, though. So yeah. I think I'd almost rather have the head in the way than that thing.
Yeah, I never even noticed the Ness and Scroll until people started bitching about it.
Well, the Ness and Scroll, it's one of those things where we have smartphones. Why do you need that? Why do you need
because ESPN
the scores
does
from
it.
The day?
That's why. ESPN does it. That's the reason Nesson does it is because ESPN did it and has been doing it for how many years? I mean, that's what they do.
Well,
I never even noticed it. It never bothered me. And then now all of a sudden it's a big issue.
Well, besides, it's like that chirp, man. Once it's there, get rid of it.
Well, that chirp, I don't know. I don't get it.
I understand that, but what I'm saying, it's the same thing.
No,
notice it, and then you notice it, and it's ingrained in your head.
No, the at least that, in theory, has a reason to be there. The chirp is just to tell you live action's happening again. They never explain that, though. So they're trying to do something subliminal to you that you hear that chirp, and it gets your attention back. It's very 1984-ish.
Right.
Orwellian.
What is that, Pavlov's dog, where something you do triggers a response?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Every time I hear it, I pick my nose.
Well, besides that guy's massive head in front of the screen, the game was an enjoyable experience for Bruins fans, mostly because Bruce Cassidy believed it was his team's best game.
Well, to me, it's the best game we've played. I thought game two, we were very good. I think it was more of an ornery response from just not a typical Bruins game one playoff. We kind of knew we had to step up. Today was more of the way we wanted to. We wanted to be aggressive, keeping pucks alive with our D. That's how you end up with 10 shots as a defenseman, 4 attempts, whatever it turned out to be.
So the series comes back to the TD Garden tomorrow night at 7 p.m. I believe that's the time that has officially been announced.
Correct.
I saw that yesterday. But no one faces more pressure than the Leafs head coach, Mike Babcock. He hasn't won a playoff round since 2013, and dating back to his days in Detroit, he's now 0-4 in potential series clinching games. However, there's one player on the Bruins who isn't quite as happy to be returning to the TD Garden, and that's Brad Marchand.
We played well tonight, gave ourselves another opportunity for another game, and you know, we gotta try to replicate it. But they're gonna come hard. They've played really well in our building so far this series. Ice has been terrible there, so you know, we might as well play with tennis ball. We'll just skate around and see who bounced one in the net.
Yeah, happy about the conditions of the ice.
As a matter of fact, he wasn't the only one who mentioned something yesterday. I think Torrey Krug was just unprompted, ripped on the ice at the TD Garden. So maybe someone who's listening or heard that comment yesterday, maybe they need to figure something out. I don't know if it was because of the transition between that and the Celtics four, but they've been doing that all season long.
All right, so it's not that hot outside.
No.
So you can take that off the table.
Nope, it's not that.
There's not going to be a Celtics game for about a month. So you can take that out of this equation. So,
well, there's no excuse on Tuesday.
No, there's none. And if the players have said that the ice sucks, I mean, you got to take care of that. I mean, this is a professional hockey franchise.
I haven't been hearing any complaints this whole season. Like, that's the first I've heard of that. So I'm wondering if there was anything in particular over this last week that might have caused that. Because that did seem strange. Yeah, I mean, because it's been somewhat like, I don't. What was the hottest it's gotten this past week?
72, 73.
That's not hot enough. That's not hot enough for the ice to act that way.
Well, I mean, yeah, and they had games in Nashville. I would imagine that that's fairly warm.
Sure.
So, maybe it was because they had to keep changing the courts out, but that's not the case because of the NBA. When the Celtics play again, a few weeks?
Oh, it's going to be like November, I think.
You have to wait till pretty much every other first-round playoff series ends. And now, give the NBA credit, most of the series are 3-1. There's only one that's 2-2, and that's San Antonio and Denver. But everything else is 3-1 and could end rather soon. But the Bruins, you'd think, if they win Tuesday, would host Columbus Thursday. I don't think they'll make them wait much longer. So you figure the earliest the Celtics could play would be Friday or Saturday, something like that?
It's probably going to be Sunday.
Yeah. I mean,
it's probably like a Sunday at like 3.
Friday at the earliest.
Well, Friday is way... Can you take a look during the... after your headlines, can you take a look and see when Game 7 is? Like, when Game 7 was scheduled to be for like that San Antonio series or...
Yeah.
You know,
I'll take a look.
Because I doubt they're going to start these series much earlier than the first round is going to be.
Well, I was saying, this weekend is a safe bet. For the Celtics. I mean, if they were thinking about Thursday by some miracle, the Bruins would get the building.
No,
but again, it's going to be a long break. And that's fine with me. The longer you push back that second round series, the more of a chance you might get Marcus Smart back in the middle of it. So I'm all for it.
Well, it would have started. Yeah, I mean, you're right. But I'm hearing that there's no chance that he's going to be back in the second round.
Well, again,
he's way far off from what I'm hearing.
There's a small chance. And Milwaukee's got the same problem. They're going to finish off Detroit tonight. I mean, they're going to be waiting just as long as the Celtics are.
Yeah, everybody will.
Yeah. The fans will.
Yeah. No. You'll forget that the game even exists.
Yep. And remember, you can hear that game tomorrow night at 7 p.m. right here. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Have you read any of the Toronto papers or listened to any Toronto radio? They're petrified of this game. They're petrified of Game 7.
Of course, because I mean,
they lost in Game 7 here last year. They lost in Game 7 here in 2013. I mean, for the Bruins, they always seem to go to 7 games in the first round. I mean, I think this is the 6th time in 11 years they've had a first round series go to a Game 7 and they've had it at home. I mean, it happens all the time around here, and especially with Toronto. Huh? It's been 15 years since they've reached the second round of the playoffs, and the Bruins have been among the many teams that have beaten them down at this point. I mean, Toronto, a lot of people forget, Toronto was down 3-1 last year, forced a Game 7, and gave up 7 goals last year.
I think we know what the Maple Leafs are. I don't know what Bruins team's going to show up game to game to game. So, I mean, it's like, I at this point, anyone who can predict what's going to happen tomorrow night has no idea. Yeah, there's no idea.
I think the road team is one. I mean, each team is one and the other's building twice in this series.
So that doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered.
No.
So
if they play the way they played yesterday, they're going to win because they're the better team.
Absolutely.
If they play the way they played Friday, they're going to lose.
Right, but no, but if they play their game, they'll win. If they're the superior team.
That's the thing. The Bruins can dictate who wins and loses this game. They are the better team. If they play like crap, they lose. If they play great, they win. And there's nothing Toronto can do about it.
Right.
That's really frustrating, knowing that you have the better team out there and being unable to prove it.
And hopefully the ice is in good condition.
Yep.
Because I was unaware of that as well until I heard Marchand yesterday. Yeah. I guess that's a message to the people. Get it going.
Mm-hmm.
Get that Zamboni rolling.
Come on, Bull Gang, or whoever takes care of that.
Yeah, whatever they're called. All right, Rich, the Celtics played as well.
Mm-hmm. We will get to that. Also, Cedric Maxwell's head explodes one more time.
All right, here are the headlines.
React in real time. Toucher and Rich are on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Down here at 5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to win a 4-pack of vouchers to see Avengers Endgame.
Oh, it's a pretty big prize, actually.
Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films. That's courtesy of Fandango.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is the beginning of when Pasta Joe goes and sits in the theater and watches all 22.
I forgot about that.
Yep, tomorrow. So we
Has anyone communicated with Pasta Joe?
I've been communicating with him, yep. So after the show, I'm going to call him and give him all of the details, but he's ready. He is ready to roll.
Is he all hyped up? Is he like...
Yeah. You excited? Yeah. Okay, thanks, Pasta Joe. Appreciate it. That's essentially the conversation.
We got some vouchers there for you for the snack bar.
Sounds good.
Have you talked on the phone with them?
No, no. It's all been just back and forth, like texting.
Oh, see. Oh, ooh. Yeah. Look at that. I would want to talk to him just because he's such a delight.
We are today. Like, I told him I'd call him after the show because I have to work out the fine details, but he's ready for tomorrow. I think 11:30 a.m. is when the whole thing starts. So with Iron Man 1, and then it goes through the night. Like, it doesn't stop at midnight or, you know, it open back up at 10. Like, you're watching movies at 2 in the morning, and they have showers there at the theater, and they've got the snack bar open all night long. So they are ready to roll.
And he's by himself?
Yes, he's by himself. Well, by himself and all the other, you know, his close friends in the theater.
Right. I mean, they'll definitely bond during that.
They will share a joy.
Hey, what's your name?
Joe. Joe? What do you like to do for fun?
Wear a Wheaties jacket.
He's going to be a rock star there. Everyone's going to know Pasta Joe.
Yeah. How would you be able to tell which one's Pasta Joe?
Is the guy just with the word Wheaties across his chest?
I just think that Pasta Joe's not going to look dissimilar to a lot of the people that are sitting at that theater.
It's probably a great point. Well, the Celtics close out the Indiana Pacers with a sweep, and they didn't even need playoff Kyrie to do it.
Bounce pass. Knocked away by Kyrie. He saves it from going out of bounds. Morris lead for Horford. Hand to Jason Tatum. Two-hand slam. And the Celtics are running away and hiding here in game 4.
Boom, yeah. Right. Well, thank you for that analysis, Cedric Maxwell.
You're just a more excited Esposito.
It was all about the bench last night as the Celtics once again closed out strongly in their 110-106 win yesterday in Indiana. For a team that has blown big leads at the end of games all season long, it was good to see the Celtics played their best basketball in the fourth quarter, actually for this whole series. In game 2, Boston came back from a double-digit hole to outscore the Pacers 32-12 in the last 12 minutes. The next game, Celtics outscored the Pacers by 16-9 in the final few minutes. And yesterday, the Celtics took a one-point lead entering the fourth quarter to 11 at one point. And one of the reasons that strong quarter was the excellent play by the Celtics bench.
Gordon Hayward switches to the right hand, driving strong, draws some contact. Runner is good. Scored in the foul for Gordon Hayward.
Ooh, Gordon Hayward, bang, bang, Santa Claus. Well, I guess it's not that time, but that was a good play. Laid it up, caught the harm, the foul, laid it off the glass. Got his man in the pop, pop, popcorn pop.
What was that?
Maybe because it was a gift, the shot went in. I have no idea.
No, come on. You're giving him way too much credit.
I'm trying here. I have no idea. I don't. I've been very lucky to sit next to Max for a lot of games. Hey. I have no idea what that means.
Hayward
Santa
does,
Claus.
Hayward doesn't look like Santa
yes,
Claus.
Yes, he does. He has a big white beard.
I don't know.
I mean, every time you see Gordon Hayward, you think of the holidays.
Can I just hear that one more time? Let's see if I can figure out from the play itself.
He doesn't know. What he corrects himself.
But he goes, no, it's not that time of the year.
Yeah, because it's not Christmas.
Then what is he saying?
He just free associates without any kind of association.
It's just I love lamp.
He sat here and said he just says stuff.
Yeah,
he
but
sat
that,
in the studio and said that.
I just want
to
hear.
Gordon Hayward switches to the right hand, driving strong, draws some contact. Runner is good. Scored in the foul for Gordon Hayward.
Ooh, Gordon Hayward, bang, bang, Santa Claus. Well, I guess it's not that time.
That's a movie I wouldn't want to see.
Unicorns, show ponies. I mean,
But yeah. I actually know why he said that.
Right.
Like, we know why he said unicorn show ponies.
That's true.
Like, there's a story behind that. Yeah. But Bang Bang Santa Claus.
And then he just
might
goes,
be the worst X-rated movie of all time.
You've never seen a Santa Claus themed porn?
No,
oh,
I'm
there's
not.
A lot of them.
Okay, oh, that's horrible.
Sometimes with elves.
Oh no, it's
that
awful.
Are proportional to actual elves.
That sounds awful.
They're actually quite common.
Well, maybe he had that on the mind.
And
maybe.
Then he just goes. And then he just goes pop, pop, pop. Pop, poppity, pop, popcorn.
I've heard the popcorn one.
The popcorn popper. I know what that is.
Yeah, right. But okay, it still doesn't make any sense.
No,
the popcorn popper made sense for that play, the whole Santa Claus thing.
Explain to me
what,
how
what does that mean? Because
you get the guy in the air. The guy jumps up, you fake,
and
the guy pops up.
Okay.
He jumps up, and you stay on the ground. You get him. Pop, jumping up and down like popcorn popping.
That's still quite the reach, but at least that's got an explanation.
That's what Max says for that particular kind of car.
All right, well. Poppity, pop, 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 pop. Well, Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris, Gordon Hayward, they combined for 49 points off the bench. Bang, bang, Santa Claus. They had 69% shooting. That is absurd. And Gordon Hayward, 20 points on 7 of 9 shooting. He hit all his threes and attacked the rim, all while looking like Utah Gordon once again. And they needed to step up because Kyrie Irving and Al Horford both had the rare off nights, combining to shoot 8 for 32 from the field and with neither hitting a shot in the last quarter. And thank goodness for guys like Terry Rozier picking up the slack.
Al Horford, hand off Jason Tatum, turns the corner, over the shoulder. Morris thought about it, instead goes into the left corner for Rozier. Rozier against Joseph, 6 on the shot clock, right-hand escape dribble. Step back behind the line, and he drills a 3.
Need that one. Terry Rozier spot on in this particular series.
Yep, okay, he was.
Hanukkah Harry, 8 nights, boom!
Like you could have said Easter Bunny, like Santa Claus. You were doing this on a holiday.
Yeah.
You just got the wrong holiday.
He probably got confused.
Maybe he did. Well, so the Celtics complete their first series sweep since 2011. Here's Gordon Hayward afterwards.
We wanted to play our best game of the series tonight. We knew it was going to be a tough game. Closeout games are always really tough, and just proud of us for finding a way to win. Good that we can kind of heal up a little bit. You know, then we have a lot of time to prepare for the next one, too.
And Kyrie Irving recognized the great game the bench had, especially Terry Rozier.
I mean, he's just come in just being very mature about what he's doing with his minutes, picking up the basketball, being very communicative on, you know, middle pick and rolls, being in the right spots, and then more importantly, just taking the shots when they're coming to him. Big, timely shots when bigs are switching on him, making the great decisions. And just doing the things, what it takes to win a tough ball game.
So the Bucks are more than likely going to finish their sweep against Detroit tonight. But even then, I wouldn't expect, as we were saying, the second round to start until this weekend. So the Celtics get time to rest. We're going to have Sean Grandy in studio tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour to preview the upcoming series and aggravate Wallach, I'm sure, at the same time. But
maybe
I mean,
he can sit in Wallach's chair and Wallach can move over.
Yes, that's right. That's just what Sean wants to do, sit in this chair.
Well, you know, you sit in his. It's just kind of tit for tat.
It's exactly the same thing.
Well, this is
doesn't
one of
the, have to travel.
No, doesn't have to do that. He can just stay here. Maybe you guys could just switch.
Okay.
You know, we'd be another guy who likes wrestling here at this radio station.
That's right.
We don't have enough.
That's a good point.
People obsessed with wrestling.
Would it be a pay cut?
For what?
If you switch jobs for you?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Why don't you ask him?
Who makes more money? Is that what you're going
to say? Well, does he know how much money you make?
No.
Do you know how much money he makes?
No.
Well, then if I ask him, it's not going to get anywhere.
Nah, that's probably true.
All right, so Rich, what else is coming up?
So the Red Sox did something. Hey, they actually won, and they swept a really good team. So that's interesting.
The best team in baseball.
Yeah, so we will get to that.
All right, we'll be right back.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you all out and clear.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
So that guy right there.
Hang on 1 second. Sure. Car number 10 to the Pride Motor Group. Contest line 617-931-0985. We'll score a 4-pack of vouchers to see Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios' grand conclusion. the 22 films courtesy of Fandango.
So I went to game one of this series, and when that guy came out on the ice and started singing, your first reaction is, oh, yeah, I forgot it's playoff time and Rene Rancourt isn't here, and you're kind of bummed. I know the whole season they haven't had him, but it's different at playoff time. You're expecting like the fist pump and all that. And then he sang. I was like, oh, this guy's pretty good. I saw him on the Jumbotron. He comes out. He's like real confident, walks off. And then on Friday night, I saw him sing again. I'm like, you know what? This guy's won me over. This guy's all right. And so I just tweeted something out. I'm like, all right, the dude who's replacing Rene Rancourt's okay. And I found out about this dude. Apparently, and his name's Todd. I might be pronouncing it wrong. Angeli or Angeli. I'm not sure. But I guess that according to people who are tweeting me, this guy sings the national anthem and then afterwards goes upstairs and works the bar at the sports deck.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So as soon as he's done, he goes up and slings drinks and does his second job for the Bruins upstairs.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's the case or whatever.
It is the case. It is true.
But that's kind of rad if that's what he does.
Well, yeah. I mean, what do you think he's going to make a living singing the national anthem?
No, he's just a guy that had been obviously working at the TD Garden, seeing all these people like singing. And he's like, hey, you know, maybe I could do that. And goes down and does it. And now he's kind of the guy. I don't think they're switching it up in the playoffs. I think he's the guy because I know throughout the season they're bringing a bunch of people in. But that's kind of rad. And I think he has even another job, too. He's like a probation officer or something like that. Well,
you're not going to get rich singing anthems at the Garden. You got to do other things.
Yep. I like the fact that he just, in the same night, just does double duty and goes right back up there.
Doesn't the Red Sox, the guy who does Red Sox public address at Fenway during the week, he used to be a member of media relations or is a teacher now or something like that.
Well, you remember that when they were having the tryouts for to be the guy in the house, it was like $25 a game or something.
Yeah, no, it's not a lucrative position.
No, and it just seems like, Rich and I know someone who does it for the Gladiators, like minor league hockey team in Atlanta, and does it for the Atlanta United MLS team. And when he did it for the Thrashers, I thought 41 days, you got to get there like an hour and a half before the game and sit around and pronounce all those names that are incredibly hard to pronounce, and you're getting $25.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're on the ninth floor. It's not exactly a fun gig. I don't know why you'd want to do it.
I think there's guys who have done pretty good. Like what's his name? Eddie Palladino, I think, I think he's done pretty well for himself because he's been doing it for years, right?
Yeah, but he also does some charity stuff representing the Celtics at events and stuff before the game. I mean, it's not just that.
Right.
He's got other things. And I think he also has a day job also.
Well, they had to take down the statue of the lady from the Flyers.
What happened? Didn't they used to show her singing even after she died?
Yeah. No, actually, yeah, that and she used to do the God Bless America tape for the Yankees. So during the seventh inning stretch, they took her out of there too.
Why?
So, okay, because in the like 20s or 30s, yeah, she sang these songs that are so crazy racist.
Okay, yeah. I did hear about that story, yeah.
She's like, this is for all the, and I can't say any of those. They're like slurs that you haven't heard like since Little Rascals.
Yeah.
And so and she's like, this is for like the black kids at this orphanage, and I don't even know what I can say. There's like stuff, and then she says that they dream of these big things that are stereotypical that,
sure,
black people like. And
yeah, I had heard that, so I just didn't put the two and two together on, yeah, that.
So Kate Smith, is that her name?
I believe that's
and
correct.
They took down the statue. They had a statue of that broad.
Did you see the video of the guy who was singing? His name's Gavin DeGraw. He's like a top 40 singer who sang for the Predators during game 5. And you know how they have that carpet with the circle at the end for the singers to walk out on so they don't have to walk on the ice? And he finished singing the anthem, and he like pumps his hand in the air and does this kind of like jump, and his right foot hits the ice, and he goes straight onto the ice.
Yeah, that would happen to me.
That's it. I mean, it's like your highest moment, and all of a sudden the world just goes, nope, I'm not going to allow this.
No,
and boom.
That's getting on a paddleboard in front of other people and throwing up all over the place.
Well, John, your Red Sox, it looked okay.
Swinging away, and he tags that to center field. Kiermaier racing back. He runs it down, makes the catch, tagging up. Here comes Devers. He is in to score. Vasquez delivers. Jackie Bradley with a big play as well, and the Red Sox have a 4-3 lead.
All right, before we go any further, I want to ask you, Fred, Mr. Baseball here, about what you would have done
top of the 11th inning, scores tied, runners on second and third, and one out. And Christian Vasquez at the plate. You have the top of the order on deck. You have Benintendi and Betts to follow, but you have the option to walk the number nine hitter to load the bases and set up a force in a tie game in the 11th inning. Do you walk the hitter and face the top of the order or not? You have your closer pitching for you in a tie game.
Yes, I would walk the guy.
Well, Tampa Bay, Kevin Cash chose not to walk him, and Vasquez, that sacrifice fly gave the Red Sox the win.
Well, Tommy Pham on Saturday really made a good name for himself. With a runner on second,
he got picked off first. But then yesterday he made up for it by hitting the game-tying homer in the eighth.
But the thing is that I'd get mad at like a 7-year-old for like, where are you going?
To be picked off by a pitcher is one thing. To be picked off by a catcher is something else.
No. You don't get picked off with a runner on second.
True.
Where are you going? There's literally nowhere. You're getting absolutely no advantage. I mean, you're running into someone.
Yep.
So I was reading this thing in ESPN, and it said, you know, they just swept the Tampa Bay or whatever, but if they continue to struggle, that they should look at the deadline to trade J.D. Martinez and Porcello, because they both...
J.D. can opt out. Porcello, this is the last year of his contract.
Right, so to trade those. And then it said that they have to think about what they're going to do with Mookie Betts.
Well, that was what David Price said. David Price said we keep losing, and Mookie Betts is going to be on this team anymore. Remember, he just threw that out there casually during that big slump, or during the beginning of the season, until this weekend.
They're
where
still
they finally...
in it, Rich. They're 4 games under 500.
Hey, but they are not in last place anymore.
Hey!
Finally, the Baltimore Orioles have dipped below them. Right now, the Red Sox are only 5 games behind the Tampa Bay Rays after their sweep series, and the Orioles are 6.5 games behind. But then, I mean, you take a look and just, you know, the Yankees aren't much better, and neither are the Blue Jays. And the Yankees just lost.
Yeah, 13 players injured.
But Aaron Judge being one of them,
yeah,
obviously
hurt. Yeah, Giancarlo Stanton's hurt. I mean,
everybody is out.
Torn oblique, they're saying, for Aaron Judge.
They said a strain, and it was just on a swing, a single to right field, and they say it's a severe strain out indefinitely. So they didn't say tore. If it was a tear and you're a baseball player, that's it for a long time.
That might be it.
Isn't that what Marcus Smart had?
Yes.
A torn oblique, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, but he's not rotating like that.
It's a different action, yes.
Okay. Yeah,
you're quite screwed. Well, Evaldi's hurt, and who could have seen that coming?
I know. That's the first thing I thought of when he placed him on the disabled list. Who would have thought Evaldi would have wound up on the injured list? That never happens to him.
Nope. Dombrowski's going to be out of here so quick.
His contract is up one. And in next season?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Because if they're bad at the deadline, and I have a feeling they're not going to be sellers, it's not going to be that bad. But if they are, he's not going to want to get rid of anybody.
No, the American League, there are too many bad teams in the American League. The Red Sox have begun to find themselves. Detroit is 500, but they have one of the worst offenses in Major League Baseball coming into tonight. I mean, they should do well here and they get themselves right back into it.
All right, we have an opportunity for Bird or Mr. Gemelli, Nicholas Gemelli. Don't want to get people confused, all hyped up and think it'd be Mark Gemelli. For them to see the Avengers. They want to see it very badly. And that is tomorrow, Rich?
It is either tomorrow or Wednesday. I have to check.
Okay. Well, we said whoever gets the best audio wins. You just got to find a guy and talk to him. Obviously, Nick went right to his father. It was a big hit. We'll find out who Bird found and hear that audio.
I will say this. He did a second one.
Good for him.
I like it. He took the initiative.
Nice.
He heard Mark Gemelli and said, you know what? I need something better.
Yep, and he didn't have a loser's mentality. He went out and did better. Mm-hmm. Good for him. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.